information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin. This is Up North News Radio. Here's Pat Kreitlow.
It's 7:06, and this is the second hour of Up North News Radio for this Thursday, May 11th. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Aaron Zommers is here, and so is Dr. Kristen Lyerly, who normally would join us at 7:30 for Hometown Health, and she still will. But we have more health stuff to talk about, and it is truly in up her alley, in her bailiwick, in your exam room. Let's put it that way. How are you?
I'm good. There's so much happening in the world of women's health right now.
I know. So let's just get right into it, because first off, Hometown Health at 7:30, it's going to be about composting and so a little environmental health, right?
Yes. And It's that time of year. Like, can you even look outside without just itching, like wanting to be out there? It's so green and everything is so fresh and new. So perfect time to talk about your composting plan. And if you don't have one, to come up with one.
So once that was set, then these other things started happening. One deals with new guidance for mammograms for women, and the other deals with another step closer toward over-the-counter birth control pills. Let's start with the mammogram guidance. What happened? What's new on that this week?
So breast cancer screening has really been confusing for the past, I don't know, decades. And different organizations have had different recommendations. The one that I typically follow for my patients is start screening at age 40 and then have a conversation when they come in every year about, is this the year to do it or do we wait an additional year? So every 1 to 2 years are the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists. That hasn't changed. What has changed is the USPSTF, the United States Preventive Task Force, they had a guideline that said, let's not screen until age 50. But what we're finding is that younger women are getting diagnosed earlier with more dramatic breast cancers. And it's seen more commonly, especially in Black women, who tend to have more aggressive breast cancers and a higher risk of dying. So we're hoping that changing these guidelines, and right now this isn't a draft, so it is not a firm guideline yet, but we're hoping that when they do change these guidelines, that it will prevent death from breast cancer.
So is this a case of that the detection is getting better than ever, and so let's start earlier to detect these things because we are detecting them better? Or is it a concern that women are getting cancer, you know, at earlier ages than you used to see?
We don't know. The technology is definitely getting better, and there's a lot of controversy about dense breasts, which almost half of women have dense breasts. And younger women, it's harder because we've got more hormones and our breasts tend to be more dense when we're younger. So it's harder to pick up on these early stage cancers. So there's still a lot that we don't know, which is why the recommendations have been so hard to make. You know, anytime you're thinking about a screening recommendation from a patient perspective, you're like, what am I supposed to do? All you want to know is like, what is your doctor's recommendation? But when we're putting the recommendations together, we're thinking about how common is this disease? How dramatic is this disease? Is it a fatal disease? Is it something that can be treated? Is it something that's expensive, inexpensive? There are all of these considerations that go into making these recommendations. So we don't know the answer to your question, Pat, but we'd like to figure it out. And this is all part of that process.
So when you do something like this, not you, but when the recommendations are changed or just when they're in the news, I would imagine you get more than a couple of calls from people who might be under a certain recommended age. And they say, well, I heard this in the news or whatnot, and I want to get screened for this kind of thing. And then do you have to do the little insurance dance with them and say, well, we could screen you, but because the guidance calls for this age, if we did it any earlier without any prior indications, you'd probably have to pay for that out of pocket.
Thanks to Obamacare, breast cancer screening is a preventive service that is covered by your insurance. But to your point, only if you meet the criteria for screening. So if you have a concern, say you have a family history, or you have a friend who is just diagnosed and you're worried, or you found a lump and you are really worried about it, these are all really personal individualized decisions, and your best next step is to talk to your doctor about the best plan of care for you personally. That's why we can't legislate this kind of stuff. The science is always changing. Our personal circumstances are very different from one another, and we have to be able to make very individualized decisions based on our own needs, our own histories. Importantly, I should mention, 1 in 8 women in this country will develop breast cancer at some point in her life. 1 in 8. This is common. So screening is important. And if you take one thing away from this conversation, please have it be that you do need breast cancer screening, but the type of screening is going to be based on your individual circumstances. Talk to your healthcare provider.
And I would just like to put a finer point on something you said there. The whole point of the Affordable Care Act and continued efforts to try to reform the healthcare system are so that people don't use money as a reason not to get checked out for something. Because again, it's that literally that ounce of prevention saying. And if people don't go get checked because they're afraid they're going to get a bill, it's just going to lead to a much bigger bill later on. Now, coming up, Dr. Lyerly sticks around and we take the other new development, and that's about the potential for an over-the-counter birth control pill. But first, we are going to get the latest forecast from Weatherology. We'll take a quick look at sports, then more with Dr. Lyerly on health subjects, and then composting in our hometown health segment coming up at 7:30. We'll be back. You're up north. If you missed it, we're doing some Irving Berlin tunes for him being born on this day. Brewers lose to the Dodgers 8-1. They drop 2 out of 3. They are off today. The Kansas City Royals come to town for 3 games at American Family Field. Starting Friday, Corbin Burns will be on the mound Friday night. We just gave away 2 tickets for Sunday afternoon's game, and we are going to do it again tomorrow at 6:50. But in the meantime, you can hear the Brewers on Oshkosh Air Support and on News from the Center in Richland Center here on the Civic Media Radio Network. All right, time to see if we can keep up this warm streak. This warmth has been magical, except just on the farthest western edges here of the state, that where, you know, it hasn't been quite as pleasant, but still the warmth has been wonderful, Jennifer, and we're looking forward to seeing what your forecast around the state looks like for today. Good morning.
Yeah, and it still looks like sunshine expected for most today. More cloud cover in west central Wisconsin with a chance for showers and storms starting to push through the area for today. Above average for most, 80s farther south, Richland Center over to Waukesha, a little bit cooler around Milwaukee. Mid to upper 70s, Oshkosh and central Wisconsin over to Amory today. Chance for some showers and storms essentially for everyone on Friday. Temperatures not really adjusting much around Baldwin, still in the mid 70s, same as today, and then cooling down a little bit for the rest of the state, still above average across the board, though mainly in the mid to low 70s. Even cooler for the eastern half of the state, but still above average. For Mother's Day weekend, a chance for some showers and thunderstorms on Saturday for most during the day, holding off until the evening hours around Wausau to Oshkosh. Temperature-wise, it's not going to really change much compared to Friday, but then for Mother's Day on Sunday, looking at cooler weather overall as another cold front pushes through, with still a chance for some rain showers, and temperatures at or below average looks like ranging between the upper 50s to around about the mid 60s.
All right, Jennifer, sounds great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day. That would be Jennifer Wojcicki from Weatherology giving us our forecast. Now, Hometown Health is coming up at 7:30, but Dr. Kristen Lyerly is with us right now as we talk about some other healthcare issues related to her work as an OBGYN. We spoke in the last segment about new mammogram guidance, and now we want to get into another story that was making the rounds yesterday as the country moves one step closer toward over-the-counter birth control pills. Let's take a step back and talk about, why aren't birth control pills over-the-counter right now? Why do they require a prescription?
That is an excellent question, Pat. My personal view is that it all ties into our difficulty with women's health issues, because the truth is birth control pills are really safe. And depending on the formulation, most women can use birth control. So as long as your blood pressure is normal and you are under 35, you're not a smoker, there are ways in other countries that you can self-select to be able to use typical birth control pills or the mini pill that we're going to talk a little bit more about. But these are safe medications, and truly they should be over the counter or at least able to be prescribed by a pharmacist, which is another movement that's happening.
So they have been researched, tested, approved. Mm-hmm. So basically they're good unless some judge in Texas says otherwise. I mean, because that's the world apparently we live in now. Okay, so what's the new development? What is this? This is not the same pill that women have been taking all along. This is something a little different.
This, to be very honest, this is not my favorite pill. This is a mini pill. So this is a pill that has a progestin in it. It's very safe. It's been FDA approved. It's been used by prescription for over 50 years. So this is, it's a really good pill. The problem with this pill is because it's a progestin only pill, you have to take it at the same time every day. It's not very forgiving. And there's a higher rate of unscheduled bleeding with this pill. So it's a good pill. It prevents pregnancy. It works. But the problem with birth control pills is sometimes we forget. That's the biggest issue. Sometimes we forget. And this pill is not very forgiving if you do forget. My hope is that at some point in the near future, we'll have the regular kind of birth control pill available, which is the one that has the progestin and the estrogen in it. And those are the more forgiving pills, where if you forget, double up, and you know, it's not as big of a deal. The risk of unplanned pregnancy isn't as big as it is with the mini pill.
Now, I'm sure there are folks who heard the last segment and said, all right, where's the line? Connect the dots on here with breast cancer concerns about traditional birth control pills. Does this play any role into whether this mini pill is better for somebody?
So the one thing that the committee is concerned about, and to be clear, this is not FDA approved yet. It was approved by a committee, so it heads to the full FDA in the summer. But the one thing that the committee was really concerned about was that women who have the potential to develop a breast cancer, if they take this pill, it could cause their cancer to be worse. And that is true. However, breast cancer is really unusual in women of reproductive age under 40. So it's not the giant concern that they're expressing. I think they're trying to be as safe as possible, just given the climate. But if you have a risk of breast cancer, you know, going back to the segment that we did before this, if you do have a family history of breast cancer or a concern for breast cancer, these are conversations that you really need to be having with your healthcare provider.
And so bringing this to, you know, my own experience with being married to an OBGYN, what I hear in your voice and what I hear in hers as well is that people are so often they look to you for these pat answers, no pun intended, mm-hmm. that you know, you've got all the answers to everything. And if you just check certain boxes, you get this certain pill. But I mean, we sometimes on an issue like this get reminded how very individual healthcare is and why it's so important to have a regular primary doc in an instance like this.
Exactly. And this is part of the reason why it makes me feel like I'm failing my patients in situations like where people are seeking abortions and they're going to the web to get their abortion medications and they're doing that whole thing by themselves at home. Not just the physical part, but all of the emotional work. And, you know, like this is the time when you really need somebody to be there with you, to be answering your questions, to be walking with you before, during, and after. So as a physician, I'm so committed to making sure my patients have the information that they need so that they can make the best possible decisions in their own lives. And, you know, just outsourcing some of this information doesn't feel good to me as a doctor. But on the other hand, if people choose to make these decisions, if people choose to get this medication over the counter, which many young people don't have access otherwise, then it's better than nothing.
And it can't be said enough that the 99 point whatever percent of OBGYNs, that is a safe space. People don't go because they're shy about confessing like how sexually active they are, or they don't want to ask certain questions. And I mean, this is the place to do it, is with your OBGYN. That you're not going to get lectured by and large. You're going to get guidance, but you're not necessarily going to get lectured, I would suspect.
I don't think so. I mean, we try to create that safe space where you can have any sort of a conversation and you can ask those really personal, intimate questions, things that you probably wouldn't even tell your best friend, but you need an answer because you've got a serious problem that's affecting your life. That's what we're there for.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. I appreciate you answering the questions on that. I got one more for you. And again, gets tied to, I know that that Dr. Kreitlow has sometimes, when she talks about taking that pill at the same time every day, uses the analogy, you know, you brush your teeth every day, so maybe at the same time you brush your teeth. She never would take up my suggestion, was that you put on two socks, so you put on your left one, and you don't put on your right one till after you go take your pill. I don't know what your guidance is, and clearly you can see why my wife doesn't use my guidance. But I think, you know, hey, you're not going to have both socks on unless you take that pill. You know?
What if it's a flip-flop day?
You have to wear two flip-flops, you know? I just didn't know if there's any tricks or tips that you offer your patients to help with forgetfulness, as it were.
Well, I try. The important thing is, what are your routines? Because maybe somebody doesn't wear socks every day. Maybe somebody's not an avid toothbrusher, you know, like, which is also important. Your dental health is very important. But trying to identify what are those things that you do every day, and then linking it to that habit.
Thank you for that so much. Hang on with us here. I want to talk to Mark from Prairie du Sac, because we were talking earlier about Toxic Tom Tiffany, the congressman who's been rumored to maybe run against Tammy Baldwin, and a conservative news site with an article about the Tiffany blueprint and why he has been, you know, winning races up in that heavily Republican district. My God, what a shock. Mark, what were your thoughts on it? Good morning.
Well, yes, it's heavily gerrymandered and heavily Republican now. I mean, it used to be a Democratic. So there's, I mean, far northwest corner of the state, it's heavily Democratic. You go to Bayfield, or Douglas, Bayfield, and Ashland County, pretty solidly blue, but the way they've got it gerrymandered now, it's tough for the Democrats to win. But you have to point out the fact that Republicans are willing to do just about anything to win. I mean, including breaking one of the Ten Commandments and bearing false witness against everybody. And let's remember that Tom Tiffany, if not an insurrectionist, was insurrectionist adjacent and willing to support the insurrection. I think it's time for us to take off the kid gloves for all the Republicans that were, that failed to condemn the insurrection, that it just to go after them. I mean, Josh Call needs to take a note from the prosecutors down in Georgia and go after them, hammer and tong, because they have no problem lying. I mean, the same people want to post the Ten Commandments in their school have no problem violating the whole bearing false witness provision in there. And
there's way more confessions than there are declarations. That's for sure. Mark, I appreciate the point so much. Thank you very much for calling in. And the gerrymandering thing, again, I wanted to make this point that Ashland, Bayfield, and Douglas counties are three of the most Democratic counties in Wisconsin, up in the northwest corner. And yet they have no Democratic legislators up there anymore. And it's not because of the Tiffany blueprint. It's because they rigged the maps and brought in so many of the southern, more Republican counties down there, you know, Sawyer and Price and Burnett, and put those into the district. And consequently, those folks in Ashland, Bayfield, Douglas County have no representation in the legislature that represents their values. And Kristen, you know the districts in northeast Wisconsin. It's not a far cry from that either.
In the 8th Congressional District, we have 23 state seats that have some sort of purchase in our district. Two of them are represented by Democrats. This is an area that voted for Janet Protasiewicz. This is a purple area. So 2 out of 23, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, but and again, that just tells you about the maps on here. And when we were kind of having fun with the, you know, the Tiffany blueprint, apparently the blueprint was to knock on doors. Yeah, that's what you do up there. And it's what you're telling folks, you know, who are considering running for the legislature in those seats, is that there's no substitute for having real conversations with voters.
Right.
All right. Hometown Health is coming up next, and we're going to be talking about composting. So I got to ask before we bring in our guest, are you a composter already, Kristen?
I have tried many different composting. Composting is like, it's kind of intense.
Oh, yeah. That's part of the reason I haven't, because I'm a fairly lazy person by nature. I sit here in my home all day for work and talking to a microphone. Not a lot of composting action here. I produce it verbally. Hometown Health coming up in just a bit. You're up north.
Come on in here. Come on in here. Alexander's Ragtime Band.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
Compost. Don't throw away that food waste, make it compost. What to do with that apple core? Be compost. Eat it and just put it where it all goes. Back to earth and nutrient-rich compost.
How did you find a song about composting? Sounds like something from Dr. Demento.
It's great, isn't it? I love it when it drops the bass there.
It drops the bass on a song about compost. It sounds like a cousin to the old Fish Heads song. You could compost Fish Heads. Mm-hmm. All right. While we wait to meet up with our guest, Corey Groshek, to talk more about composting, I want to make I want to lay out a little story that'll get us back to that point. There are certain generational lines, shall we say, that one crosses, and you realize you're stepping over a line and that your life is no longer the same. And some people would say the line I'm about to illustrate shows that I've crossed over into senior citizen. I would contend, I am now an adult finally because of what my wife and I did at the restaurant last night, where we decided to do something most young adults would never do. And we said, we're going to split a burger.
Uh-huh.
And we did. Because we know the size of the burgers at this place, and we tucked away the shame that you feel like, oh, grandma and grandpa, there they go, you know, sharing a meal. But I'm like, you know, there's a certain, again, you get to a point and you go, I don't want to try to eat a whole burger. I'm not going to warm this up later. And if I have to throw it away and it ends up in a landfill, well, that just gets us right to today's topic, doesn't it? I told you I'd bring us back to that.
It does. And we are, like Pat said, we're waiting for Corey to join us. He should jump in any minute here. But Corey Groshek from Greener Bay Compost is going to join us shortly, and we're going to talk about composting, what it is, what are some of the options. Have you, mentioned earlier, you've never composted. Are you a gardener?
No, I am not. And although I do think that is one of those things I may end up doing whenever retirement comes, because there are things I would like to do. I would like to do more, as we call it, puttering, you know, around the yard right now. But the only thing I do, is we joke about all the time, is attacking buckthorn. And I went crazy with a chainsaw over the weekend, trimming the bottoms of some tall evergreens. But I would love to get, like, there's these mound type gardens that you can create. I'd love to do one of, there's a part in our yard where I'd love that, but that part of the yard also would probably be the perfect place to do some composting if I was of a mind to do that.
I remember being a little kid and my grandparents had a victory garden, like legit World War II victory garden, and they had a giant compost bin. And I remember, like, walking through the garden, I remember the smell of it, and I remember grandpa taking the big rhubarb leaves in the spring and just throwing the leaves in the compost. And so I've always been a little romantic about it from when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And then when I was a grown-up and my kids were real little, I did the Master Gardeners course through the UW Extension, which is the series of different classes where you learn all about plants, flowers, grass, trees, like the whole thing. And then you give back by contributing to your community. And one of the things we learned about was composting. And so I was intrigued by that. And I thought, you know, I could do that. Like, I could get one of those barrels. They were selling the barrels in the spring where you just throw your stuff into a barrel and, like, magic happens. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen. You throw your stuff in the barrel and it doesn't magically turn it into compost. You still have to turn it. It still needs air. You have to have the right mix. So then we created these little bins to compost. So we threw our stuff in the bins and we got our pitchforks out and we were tossing that stuff around. And even then we were struggling with getting the right sort of compost. So then we tried worm composting, which we put in a closet in the house and we would just put our food scraps in with all the worms. That lasted for about 3 weeks. We couldn't stand it anymore. It was just kind of weird and uncomfortable.
It's a little, yeah. So having worms in the closet in the house on purpose.
But, you know, the kids kind of liked it because it was a science experiment. So that was fun. Okay. But, you know, it's been hard. Like, I have the will to compost. And I love seeing some of these public efforts in Canada, especially, and in some municipalities, they do have composting bins where, like, some Culvers do have a place where you can put your compostable stuff. But it's just, like, from an individual standpoint, it's really kind of hard to do. And that's where organizations like Greener Bay Compost can really help. What Corey does is he brings a bucket to your house, and you can just put your compostable stuff in the bucket, and he switches it out every other week.
Oh, it's called Greener Bay Compost. Uh-huh. I see what you did there. Okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there are lots of organizations across the state and across the country that do this kind of private composting, and it makes it accessible for us. I just, like, during our break, got up and put my coffee filter in my compost bucket.
Nice. Yeah. Now, I know we were waiting to hear from Corey. I imagine if he's having either browser issues or connection issues, you can let me know and we can maybe offer him some advice to come join us. But we, while she does that, I'll let you know again that the Brewers lost. They have the day off tomorrow. They take on Kansas City for the next three games, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they're off to St. Louis and then Tampa. And then tomorrow is going to be, our final show before Mother's Day. So we're going to talk a bit about moms, which, you know, is going to make some of us blush because, you know, we don't like to get mushy around our moms, but we do. And your moms
love it though.
I know they do. What's a favorite thing that your boys have done for you?
I always tell them that I don't want them to give me a present.
Yeah, no, don't. That just puts more pressure on them. Why would you do that?
I don't. I do send them a text in advance of Mother's Day because I want them to know that it is Mother's Day so they at least call me. But our tradition when they were young was to go for a bike ride because I love to ride my bike. So we would take a family bike ride. And for a few years in a row, we would accidentally end up at a restaurant that was closed for Mother's Day because we didn't know in advance. So that's the running joke. I'm not going to be here for Mother's Day this year. I sent this text yesterday, actually. I'm not going to be here for Mother's Day this year. So can I have a rain check on our bike ride to a closed restaurant?
Well, and you've certainly have done more than your share of bike rides while you've been working, you know, in spots of rural Minnesota. It's just a matter of now you need to do one with the boys. Is there like have you guys like done a big one all together? Because I know you're the long distance bike rider. Will the boys go on a long one with you as well?
So Abe has, my oldest, who's 24 now, he's done part of the Door County Century with us. He's done 50. And that was torture for him. And I don't know that he'll ever get on a bike again.
Nice job, Mom.
It's a fine line between fostering a new hobby and, you know.
And trying to kill your kid. Yeah, sure. And then the others are better about this?
Well, you know, as you become more confident in your parenting skills, you lay off a little bit. So my youngest is really well adjusted. Little Pat Kreitlow, the LPK, he's
still scary. Meeting him a couple of weeks back was just scary.
Oh, he's such a good kid, but he does love to get on his bike and ride around just for fun. So that's kind of neat.
What about the e-bike trend or craze or whatever? Has that hit the Lyerly household yet?
No. Well, maybe probably someday.
Well, plus I doubt that you do a ton of hills, you know, that would even require an e-bike.
Come on.
I mean, Pat. Okay. You're going to suddenly somebody's going to do the entire Ice Age trail here just so she can prove a point, I guess.
And I'm going to send you pictures at every hill along the way.
Okay.
I like the hills. The hills are good.
Okay. All right.
Because if you, you know, you go up the hill and then you earn the down part of the hill.
I feel like we're getting away from what Mother's Day should be about. Not bike rides and not gifts. It should be about food, because who doesn't love a good Mother's Day buffet or having your family, you know, cook something for you. So where are you with Mother's Day and food of some sort, either going out or having something made?
Well, honestly, we don't do anything like that. I mean, really, it's really more about like just being together. So hey, other than biking to a closed restaurant, which, you know, that's the food that we've gotten.
I feel like that should be like the new tradition is now you just purposefully find a restaurant that's closed and you bike to it and then you bike through the McDonald's drive-thru on your way home or something along those lines.
Maybe that's the tradition, actually, the like, how do we throw it together because of the disaster tradition.
So that's this. And now we're only a couple of weeks away from Memorial Day weekend. Do you know yet if you're going to be, you know, working there or if you're going to be back, you know, back around here?
No, I'll be up in Hibbing for Memorial Day.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You know what? By that time, it's probably going to be as green as it is here. Because
hopefully.
I mean, it is. How is it here compared to where you just were in Western Minnesota?
Oh, it's so very green here compared to Western Minnesota. The trees are all budded out and it's beautiful.
Oh, it's just gorgeous here on the lake. Corey Groshek joins us now from Greener Bay Compost. Corey, nice to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Hello. Nice to meet you too. And thank you for inviting me on the show this morning. I appreciate it.
You bet.
So Corey, we talked a little bit about the different ways that people can compost in their homes. Tell us a little bit about, from your perspective, what is composting and how do you approach it as somebody who, like, this is your career?
Sure. Well, first thing I want everybody to know out there, we at Greener Bay Compost and all our friends and colleagues at compost companies like mine all across the country and the world, we fully support anybody composting in their own backyard. In fact, that's actually how I started Greener Bay Compost. The first 10,000 pounds of organic waste and food waste we processed or composted for our company was actually in my own backyard with a pitchfork, if you can believe it. So as far as what I would call composting, the simplest way I can put it is it's the recycling, or I prefer to say upcycling, of food waste. So if you think about how we recycle things like milk jugs, orange juice bottles, soda cans, it's just like that, but with food. So basically, we're taking something that most people would consider waste or garbage, and we're upcycling it into this really great nutrient-rich soil amendment, which we call compost. It's great for your houseplants, great for your garden. You can even throw it on your lawn. Basically, if it's green, if it grows in the ground, then it would love compost.
So why do we need composting? Like, what is the impact here?
Well, the first big impact that composting has is it takes this food waste that we often produce in voluminous amounts in our house. In fact, most of our subscribers at Greener Bay Compost remark when they sign up with us that their household waste, the amount of trash and their garbage, drops by 50% or more just because they cut all the food waste out. So one of the big impacts of composting is it takes all this food waste, which is still full of vitamins, minerals, and nutrients that, in my opinion, belong in the ground, not in the trash or in a landfill. And it repurposes it. It gets it out of the landfill. So it's not just entombed in plastic and concrete somewhere in some landfill, which we'll just need another one of in probably about 20 more years. And it actually finds a better home for it back in the ground from whence it came. Speaking of landfills, the other big benefit of composting is it prevents the release of toxic methane into the environment. What many people don't know about landfills is when you take wet, heavy food waste, like your banana peels, your apple cores, avocado pits and skins, things like this, and you bury them in a landfill where there's no oxygen, the microbes that eat that type of material in that type of environment produce methane, which is a toxic greenhouse gas that is 20 to 30 times better at trapping heat in our atmosphere than the CO2 or carbon dioxide that we all hear about in the climate change conversation. So if you're somebody out there who's concerned about climate change, you're trying to do something on a personal level at home with your friends, with your family, with your business, because we serve businesses too, as do many of our other colleagues in this industry, Cutting down on the amount of food you put in the trash is a great way to help out not just your own household and your local community in terms of fighting climate change, but also really the whole planet, since we're all connected.
Very much so. And you can learn more at gbcompost.com about residential or business, or even learn about potential public-private partnerships. Cody, so nice to have you here. Thank you again very much for joining us, Corey. Appreciate it so much.
No, you're welcome. Thank you for your time. Have a great morning.
All right. Luke Mathers joins us, and then we'll wrap things up for a Thursday morning next. You're up north.
Don't put them in the trash. Save your scraps to the earth. They go right back. Save your scraps, and put them in a pile. If that's a no-go, then go to a food scrap drop-off site and smile.
WMDX.
Heads, fish, heads, roly-poly fish, heads, fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum. Fish, heads, roly-poly fish, heads, fish, heads, eat them up, yum.
Look, if you've never been exposed to this song, you're welcome, and I'll... The first time I shared it when my daughters were little, I could not get over how much giggling went on, and it's still a thing after all these years. So we thought composting, you know, that your fish heads would go there. Luke Mathers joins us now, not because he's a fish head, but because you fish. I'm sure there's, you know, times you've had to throw fish heads away, and you could have put them to better use. And now you're a homeowner. You can compost.
I can. It's something I've been waiting for. A few... I want to say two Christmases back, I got a countertop composter that I was so excited to use, but then I had no place to actually put the countertop compost waste. And so now I am a homeowner. My dad actually is big into composting as well. And so he saw a special through an organization that was kind of giving some deals on some composting kits, and I'm picking mine up on Saturday. So
love
look
it.
At you.
Yeah.
Now hopefully you'll have better luck than Kristen did. She said it's a process.
Yeah. My dad's got one of the big ball composters and then also one of the double barrel ones. And
oh, wow.
I helped him set up the double barrel one years back, and getting it started I know was a pretty big hassle, but it's been he knows a couple of tricks, and I'm hoping that he'll be able to share those with me, and I'm looking forward to getting started on the compost journey myself this weekend.
Look at us just trying to be so good to the earth. Oh, now
it's all about habits, Pat. There are obviously systematic changes that need to be had to address climate change, but every little part that we can all do also makes an impact when you got millions of people all making those little decisions. So I try not to use straws. I use reusable bags every time I go to the grocery store. And composting is just one of those things as well, where if you're a mindful consumer, you could help make a difference in your day-to-day routine.
It's just a good thing, you know, to do, because I mean, look, for the 3 years that we lived down in the Caribbean on this island, one of the first things we noticed that was so great was if you wanted, they had plastic grocery bags, but you had to pay a nickel for every one of them. And so like everybody brought their own bags, just that nickel thing. But you can't even get that through like the Wisconsin legislature or anyplace else, you know, to try to not have so much waste out there. And that's the fight we're still fighting for, basic things like that.
Yeah.
How great would it be if you could take those habits that you are cultivating in your personal life and also do that when you're out at, we mentioned earlier, like Culver's. Some Culver's have the option of putting your food waste in a different tub. I know that Kavarna Coffee Shop here in Green Bay, they've got compost as an option. Like, how great would it be to be able to translate that into other habits that you are practicing in other places and to spread that throughout our community as a whole?
Yeah. Well, somehow we got off topic here, or Mr. Mathers, I think it was the fish heads that might have done it, joins us now to talk about civic media and the many radio stations. I get to tell you for the first time, finally, that you know, after being in the Oshkosh studio a week ago, how great it is to have these little stations continue to grow and flourish, and we're adding programs and things. So what's new? What do you want to highlight for us this week?
Yeah, we've got a very big, busy summer going on. The build-out of our new headquarters in State Street is still underway. I'm really excited about the progress that we've been making there. We've got a couple more stations as well that are, you know, we're working on them, and we're excited to roll them out once we have the official lineups and the locations and all of the details to share. But it's going to be a big summer here at Civic Media. We're gearing up. It's only the beginning of May. But there's a lot on the horizon. We're looking forward to it. It's going to be a busy 2023, as I've been saying for several weeks now. And so you just want to stay tuned to all of your local Civic Media programming. There's going to be a ton of announcements coming over the next couple weeks here and in throughout the summer of 2023. And we've got a ton of exciting things as well. We've got the Brewers on WISS Oshkosh Air Support, that terrific little studio that you visited last week, Pat, and as well as on WRCE News from the Center out in Richland Center. So we're giving away tickets to Brewers games. We've got the Gravedigger doing double duty this weekend. He's joining Charlie Burns on the Cripes cast. And so it's going to be a double dose of Gilbert Brown. You can listen to him at noon on the Cripes cast with Charlie Burns from noon to one, and then as well with Earl Ingram for Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger from one to two. And it's pretty fitting. Gilbert Brown is a self-declared Big Mama's boy, and it's Mother's Day weekend. So it's a terrific weekend for a double dose of Gilbert Brown here on Civic Media.
Oh, okay. Well, between you and Aaron, I don't know, you know, your status with your moms. I know I'm getting my mom she always wants just a gift card to a big garden store near her, and then her front deck is just filled with flowers and all other kinds of things. You guys have any favorite gifts you've given over the years or stories you want to share quick? Either one of you, Aaron or Luke, this is radio.
I mean, I was waiting for Luke, and I'm sure Luke was waiting for me. But I know this year I will be giving my mom a new card game because we like to play a lot of board games as a family. And I know she's not listening right now, so we're good because I'm sure she's asleep.
Still too early. Yeah, my mom, very similar to yours, Pat. Green thumb. She loves the plants, the hanging baskets, the flowers, all of the works. And my parents last weekend celebrated their 35th wedding anniversary. So we had a fun time with the family last weekend. Looking forward. I've got my niece's birthday coming up as well in a few days here. So it's an exciting time. And there will be plenty of plants going around. She sent me with some last week. I got some raspberry bushes, thanks to my mom, to put in the yard. So I'm looking forward to those, and I'll be returning the favor with a green gift as well.
Nice. And I appreciate the reminder that your parents have been married 35 years, because mine's been 36. So I'm again being reminded that you're the punk son that I never had. And I continue learning things from you to the point where, are you really willing to put up with me tomorrow when Aaron takes the day off and take on that producer job? Are you willing to humble yourself and get up that damn early in the morning for us?
I'm shaking off the rust, that's for sure. I'm working on it, and I can't wait to join you. I felt terrible when Aaron asked to have the day off. My first reaction was, well, I hope Pat could just run a replay then, but that's not fair to the listeners, so I'm going to join you, and I'll produce you.
I mean, why not subject them to – I mean, why not we all together enjoy what it's going to sound like tomorrow? And if you – by the way, if you want to bring on any friends to help guide you along the way with this, feel free. You know,
I can't wait. It's going to be Dad Shirt Friday. I'll be there bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh, my God. We haven't done – Dad Shirt Friday was our thing last year. We got to bring that puppy back. All right. It's a deal. Looking forward to it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kristen. Happy Mother's Day in advance.
Thanks, Pat.
You guys have a great rest of your day. Earl Ingram's next in Waukesha, Oshkosh, and Green Bay. Stephanie Miller in Madison. Todd Alba, along the rest of the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow.